Welcome to Our Life in Christ and in America, Finding a Balance Between Faith and Politics with host Bill Hinkle.
It's my pleasure to have with us Father Daniel Meyer from Holy Ascension Antiochian Orthodox Church in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Father Daniel is the pastor at that church and is also organizing a march in Washington called the Third Annual March for Marriage at Washington, D.C., and that's held on Saturday, April 25th, 2015. Father Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Ooh, thank you for having me, Vasily.
Listen, Father, let's get right into it. Let's talk briefly about why we're doing this march. Can you tell us why?
Well, we have had very little time to attempt to make a response specifically to the Supreme Court taking up four cases having to do with questions concerning same-sex marriage and the authority of states to make decisions and interpreting law. And also, this will also affect different aspects of religious freedom. The Supreme Court announced just 3 weeks ago now that these cases would be taken up, that testimonies would be provided and arguments heard at the end of April, and most likely we would hear a response from the states, from the Supreme Court on these decisions in late June 2015.
That's
so this
good.
This is the impetus for the establishment of the Third Annual March for Marriage, and the date, April 25th, it was placed at that time because that will be the time that the Supreme Court is going to be hearing these testimonies. And Orthodox Christians, in particular, those who love marriage between one man and one woman, have a lot to say about this topic, and we have been working together, a number of priests and laymen and an increasing number of bishops, working to bring together some existing work that has been done, but also to make a collaborative effort to really reach out, especially to our lay people, even to our own clergy, and offer them a beautiful resource, a place where they can come to and find out more and more about the mystery of marriage. And we are attempting to rally lay people, clergymen, and monastics through the whole country to attend this March for Marriage, because we feel that if we don't say anything, we are acting in faithlessness. We are failing to offer the voice of the church, and we're shutting the church up.
Yes, you know, Father,
there is
I want
so much confusion now.
I want to butt in here just for a minute. There's confusion a lot in the churches, and here's one reason. People don't know what the church's position on this is, believe it or not. Not just people outside the church, but people inside the church. It has been remarkable to me to hear some of their imaginations of people and what they think the church should be, and instead of looking at the fathers. But I want to get at one point you mentioned earlier in your discussion real quick. In Washington State is where I'm at, and we passed a bill in 2012 that allowed for gay marriage. One of the very important parts of that debate was, oh no, we will not do anything to harm someone's conscience on a religious basis. And there was specific language in that that many of us were not content with. And sure enough, our greatest fears were realized in that a judge in Washington State ruled that a 70-year-old woman florist who owns a flower shop in Tri-Cities had violated the state's anti-discrimination and consumer protection laws by denying to provide flowers for a gay marriage. Now, mind you, this is a family that had, I say a family, this was a couple of men who she had served when they were both single men and friends, and she had sold flowers, many flowers to them. But when it came to the point of marriage, she said, no, my conscience won't allow me to do that. And the next thing you know, we're in court, and now we have this event that we were promised in the legislature would never happen. I'm concerned in particular about religious freedom. And I think I would like you to talk briefly about the threats that this poses, not just to the issue of marriage, which is very important and the church needs a unified voice, but where this can go with religious freedom.
Well, one of the reasons that we are in the position that we are in is because those who are confessing Christ in this country, those who come from a confession of faith that has been firmly invested in what we could consider an American approach to religious freedoms. We are a Christian nation. This is what the sociologists tell us. But we also offer more. We have more variety of faiths here than any other country on the planet. That is because Christians that dominate this country in terms of numbers are tolerant of other faiths. We allow them to exist.
Yes.
But what we have allowed to happen in this country is for all kinds of foul things to invade the laws of the land. We have allowed our elected representatives to vote for ideas and laws and approach these with a strange morality that is completely contradictory to Christianity, and more specifically, completely contradictory to Orthodox Christian church teaching. And because we've allowed this to happen, we are faced with a serious crisis of religious freedom.
Yes.
Religious freedom in this country is quickly being removed from all parts of the law. Now we've seen this, especially in the last decade, with blurbs here and there, beginning with the removal of laws concerning divorce, in the early 1970s concerning abortion. Religious freedom is in jeopardy here because Christians have not been speaking up. They have not been demanding that their representatives vote the way that they believe.
Yes. Yes. Amen. And part of this, I think I love the way you said that. We have allowed our elected representatives to do this. I always tell people, you get the government you deserve. And here we are. If we're silent, especially in America, which is a place where we are allowed to voice our views, and in a way that you can't do in many countries, and that historically in Orthodox countries has been risky sometimes. But here we have in America, and we have only to blame ourselves, especially in a country where many believe in God. The vast majority of people believe in some type of God, although many are not churched, and of course the Orthodox are less than 2% of the population. Some would argue less than 1% if you start counting. So the reality is our voice needs to be heard. I'm glad to hear this. Let me ask you another question, though. In regard to protests, there are some in the faith who would say that we should not be marching, that the Lord never marched in political rallies. Why should we? We didn't see the apostles marching in political rallies. Why should we? Is this the right thing to do? Why should we get involved in politics? That's a hard one, Father. I know. So.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think we're not used to practicing what we really believe here in this country. We had just yesterday Archbishop Demetrios of the Greek Orthodox Church here in America attend a remembrance rally in Selma, Alabama, to commemorate our church's representation in the civil rights movement. Hmm. We just had a movie made about it.
Yes.
I haven't seen the whole movie, but I watched a short bit of it with some clips showing what we also participate in even today, having our bishops go out and stand for causes that are so essential for the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Archbishop Yakovos did this. Then he was even his picture placed on the front of Life magazine.
Yes, I remember that.
Standing there with Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yes.
So even in this country, this is one example. But all throughout the history of the faith, Orthodox Christians have never thought of a separation between life, their life, their family life, the work of the church, and all things that govern the lives of men.
That's a very important point. We don't dissect like scientists
and pull apart and separate things and say, Christians can have an effect in this, Christians can do a little bit of that, they can't really get into this aspect of, you know, regular living.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, dualistic, which the fathers have expressed as being extremely dangerous. It's not holistic. If we started doing that with everything, think of what would happen. Think of what would happen. I mean, we have, as Christians, been invested in every institution that man could think of as being normal and essential to society.
Yes.
Where did the first hospitals come from? Christians.
Yes.
What about universities? Universities came from Christians.
Yes.
We have been engaging emperors and empresses for over 2,000 years, you know?
Exactly.
We have numerous examples. You know, my own namesake, the prophet Daniel, he was the number one go-to man for multiple kingdoms.
Yes.
Under multiple different rulers who, none of them were Jews. None of them were Jews.
Right.
But he played an instrumental role in the life of God's people and really for the most powerful civilization, the most powerful empire at the time that he was alive.
Yes.
The prophet Daniel witnessed an incredible amount of pain and suffering occurring to his people, but he stood firmly, and that's why we chant about him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the three holy youths. You know, the transformation that we saw in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar was remarkable. And it was because of the words of the prophet Daniel.
Yes.
And his prayers for him, his prayers for the king, his rebuke of the king.
Wonderful. Father, so let's talk about how one can get involved in this march. It's getting down to the wire here, so if you haven't made plans to get there, it's probably time to get going in your plans to get there. April 25th, talk about what's going to happen. And just give some direction for those who would like to be involved in this march.
Yes. First of all, I would like to say that there are a lot of clergymen and lay people who are ready and hungry for the work, doing the work of the Lord, first of all, by learning their faith, becoming educated by the church. This is the number way, the number one way that the church is to evangelize the nations. You know, when our Lord says in that beautiful first Iothinon that we read on Sunday mornings at the Matin service, at the Orthros service, we read that beautiful word according to St. Matthew from the Lord when he was at prepared to ascend up into the heavens, and he gives that great call to all of his apostles and disciples to preach the gospel to all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is what he says.
Yes.
How can we be teaching anyone anything if we don't know what the Lord teaches? So this is the first thing. We have to really dig deep. We have to really say, you know, if this is the true faith, if the Orthodox Church is the one bridegroom, the body of Christ, of which he is the head, and if the church will never be destroyed, and if the gates of hell will not prevail against it, then how could it be that we would do nothing?
Yes.
Or do very little.
Amen.
This is our whole life's concern, those things which are everlasting, rather than those things which are passing away. And these are the things, the kinds of things that we need to be busy about learning and teaching to our kids.
Yes.
So I would say the first thing we have to do is we have to get educated. We have to get educated quickly.
Yes.
We also have to be willing to get tired, to get tired out. Nobody has time for the March for Marriage. Nobody has time to read or to study or to listen to podcasts or watch videos to learn more about the mystery of marriage and about other aspects of our faith. We have to be willing to do this.
Now,
so
I have to put
no
a plug
one has
in.
No time to go to the March for Marriage. But I think that if we exhausted ourselves, which is what love demands.
Yes.
Love is not easy, you know. It takes a lot of energy to love. We would be willing, with dynamic love, to offer this most precious pearl to our neighbors.
Father, we should put
yes.
a plug in for Father Josiah Trenum's Patristic Nectar website. He has a series on marriage there if you want to be educated. I encourage everyone to go to his Patristic Nectar website. You can find it on Google without question. But anyway, continue, please.
No, that's important. And this is really what we're attempting to do. Part of the work for the March for Marriage is that we've created a website full of resources, including a number of really valuable talks and videos. Some of Father Josiah's are there. We have some from Father John Oliver speaking specifically about confusion over the what types of the type of marriage that is blessed by the church. Father John Oliver addresses this.
Mm-hmm.
We have talks from Father John Parker from South Carolina. So we're trying to offer to people, you know, and say, hey, there is so much to say. The church has so much to say about the mystery of marriage. We want to offer you just these pieces. So yeah, we're hoping that people would be able to visit, you know, this website, crownthem.org. This is the website that we created for registration for the March for Marriage and to pull in a number of resources about marriage and about these questions here in our time.
crownthem.org. Okay, very good. Please, keep going.
The specific work of the March for Marriage, you know, there is not a single other attempt in this country nationally for those who believe in marriage between one man and one woman to come together and voice in a single place their desire for our civilization, for our culture, for our American land, to have this as the foundation of our houses, as the foundation of our people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the we have entered into no man's land just now.
Yes,
we are now, for the first time ever, living in an American land where the majority of our homes are not being lived in by married persons.
Yes.
This is a really dangerous experiment that we are embarking on. And I was just saying to another priest friend today, you know, we have seen many wars. We have seen many peoples be conquered. We have seen many different kinds of experiments. Since the sexual revolution of the 1960s, we have seen such a radical, rapid change in the fabric of our nation, our laws, even down to the homes of people here.
Oh, yes. I'm much older than you, and I can remember when you would not fear to speak out against gay marriage in a public setting at all. As a matter of fact, it was a shame to even discuss things in public. And this is not in the church world, but in the secular world. And today, it's as we parade our sin as Sodom. I mean, suddenly we're the victims of retribution and denigration and humiliation because we believe in something that the fathers of our country believed in, could never have thought of. The fathers of this country would never have even imagined the position we're in America today.
You're right. And we're seeing it happen. It's unfolding really rapidly. You know, one of the main national proponents of marriage between one man and one woman is a really fine man, Archbishop Cordelion out of San Francisco. He has been working tirelessly among Catholics and offering beautiful words about marriage to the rest of the nation.
Mm.
I know a priest friend who, an Orthodox priest who knows him personally. He just issued a number of revised standards for the type of mindset and the word, the teaching of his teachers, of the teachers that are in the schools of San Francisco, the Catholic schools in San Francisco, of which he is the archbishop. There, it is his prerogative to direct them in terms of their theology, in terms of their morality, applying the Catholic Church's morality to the classroom. Which is not a novel idea, right? These are Catholic churches. These are Catholic schools.
Sure.
That are governed by the Catholic Church. As soon as Archbishop Cordelion issued this call back to Christian morality in the classrooms, he was immediately attacked by a number of politicians. And they said, "We will sue you if you do not rescind this request as a lawbreaker, as a breaker of civil law."
My.
They have hired a well-known law firm to strike out specifically at Archbishop Cordelion over this issue. And I'm left here saying, How could this be happening? How could the founding fathers of this country have ever thought that we would see this day? I thought that America was founded on the idea, the ideals, that we could have law functioning and being governed by the people, not interfering with the church.
Yes.
I thought that the church was able to function and speak about law, but not control everything.
You know, you're in Pennsylvania. You're a long ways from California, and I can tell you the Ninth District Court of Appeals is crazy. I'm sorry to be so blunt about it, but some of the things that have come out of California and out of that court would blow anyone's mind. It's just fascinating to me, the logic. And so we are in a battle without question.
We need to remember. We need to remember the Constitution.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, we need to. You know, if as Christians who are involved in this culture, we live here. Hopefully, we love this land. We need to be sure that we know how the government ought to be functioning, so that we can help it do that.
Yes.
So that we can be especially reminding our own representatives how we ought to be functioning. The fact that we have the judicial branch of the government right now acting the way that it is, to have a single judge in many states overruling the law of the state or overruling the votes of the people that are standing, that have stood for marriage between one man and one woman, a single judge can do this?
Mm-hmm.
This is extraordinary and yes, really beyond the reach of what many who are well versed in the Constitution would say is an appropriate balance between the three branches.
Well, Father, we have to wrap up, so I would like you just to give us a few just directions for people who want to attend the march. Obviously, get educated, but real briefly, just give them some directions on way to go. Let's repeat the website, crownthem.org. We'll give a lot of information about the issue in general. Is that the same place they can get information about the march?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, we chose this theme, Crown Them with Glory.
Hmm.
This is what the Orthodox Church has to offer to the nations.
Oh.
We have an incredible, deep, and full understanding of marriage. Marriage that was given to man by our Lord Himself.
Hmm.
The image that we have for our marriage, a marriage between one man and one woman, is modeled off of His love for His bridegroom.
Hmm.
His love for the church, and King Solomon says in the Song of Songs, this is the same as His love for each individual soul. So passionate is the Lord's desire for us. So intense is His longing to be mingled with us, for us to actually consume Him and become one with Him in the Holy Eucharist.
Mm.
This is what marriage is modeled off of.
Yes.
And we have an incredible word to offer to people about this. You know, that phrase, crown them with glory, comes from our wedding service. It comes from the crowning service. It's a prayer offered in confirmation by the priest. So I would say go to the website, and there we have tried to map out step by step everything that you would need to do.
Mm-hmm.
First, we're asking you that you would register to attend the March for Marriage. Read about the reasons why we're asking you to go. We ask this question and we answer it. Why should Orthodox Christians march? And then register also to become a representative at your church. We're really hoping that we'll have a number of people that are really on fire in their hearts, that feel really touched and are ready to take action to, in their own communities, speak to these things to our other lay people and their priests in their own community, but to also call other faith communities surrounding them. They could say, hey, do you know this March for Marriage is going on? Why don't you come to the Orthodox Church? Why don't you come to the Orthodox Church, because we're renting a bus and we're going to go down there because we feel like we have so much to say about this.
Hmm.
We can't be shut up.
Yes.
We can't be shut up. So go there and register.
Yes.
And if you do that, you're going to receive what we're calling an action pack. It'll be filled with bulletin inserts and all kinds of things to help you learn in smaller snippets and lead you to greater things that you might be able to communicate this clearly yourself.
Okay, Father, let's get back to that, the people that can't make it clear across the country. What can they do?
If you can't make it clear across the country, I would say, wish that you could. And I would say, if you were ever going to take a trip to see all of the wonderful places that have meant so much to the founding of this nation in Washington, D.C., if you ever have hoped that you could go there with your family, I would say now would be the time. Huh. Tap into your savings, reach into your pockets deep, and say, honey, we're taking a vacation this year, and we're taking the kids. We're going to go see the nation's capital, and we're going to stand there with all of these people, with our clergy, and we're going to say, yeah, we have so much to say. Please listen. Please listen. But if you can't go, I would say, let this be the beginning. Let this be the beginning. You can do so much where you are in your own home. Hmm. If we would be educating our own children about this thing, think of what could happen for them.
Yes.
They could be raised knowing the true faith. You know, God knows what it'll look like if he doesn't return when they get older.
Yes.
It's going to be even more essential for them to know this. So start in the family, work in your communities, take that time at the Agape meal on Sundays and talk about this stuff together. And then everywhere else you go, you can water conversations having known the truth of your faith better. You have something great to offer.
Yes. Well, Father, thank you so much for today. Again, Father Daniel Meyer from Holy Ascension Antiochian Orthodox Church in Westchester, Pennsylvania, the organizer for the March for Marriage in Washington, D.C., April 25th, 2015. And you've just heard great ways to participate. Again, the website is crownthem.org. Please join us at least in prayer, if not in presence, for this important event. Father Daniel, thank you so much for today.
Thank you so much for your work, Vasily.
You've been listening to Our Life in Christ and in America with Bill Hinkle. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.